Hollywood. So it was nothing for me to run into you, coming in the door, coming out the door sort of thing, and seeing yourself and Dave Pomfret at like 7 o'clock in the morning, or actually it was at 6 or 7 in the morning. And my wife is getting ready for work and she looks at me and she goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, I got to go to the club and go watch Dan and Dave, or I'm going to watch it on CHTV. And she's like going, "Well, what for?" I'm like, "I don't know. They're doing like a fundraiser." And she's like, "Well, who's watching?" I go, "I hear there's breakfast. So I just sat there and I watched you on TV and I'm like, is he in his jam jams?
I think we showed up in our bathrobes both times that we did that, that fundraiser. I'm too old to stay up all night and do the gig in the morning. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
definitely had for that.
I always admired that about you and Dave for doing stuff like that. It's a very charitable thing to do for the Hamilton community and people in need, that sort of thing. But I also know you just as a solo performer, aside from Fry. And because of this lockdown, everyone's been doing different things to keep their mind sharp or to be creative. You know, our mutual friend Tom Wilson, he'll paint and he'll write. Mary Simon will learn how to like play a better guitar, get lessons from Maddie Simpson, that sort of thing. What have you been doing to keep yourself sharp and creative, that sort of thing in these times?
Yeah, good question. So for the last about 7 years now, I've been the co-host of what was a monthly open mic hosted in the Dundas Oddfellows Hall basement. And my co-host and co-founder of that event is called the Dundas Music Club, is Jay Burr. A lot of people who in town may know him as a great tuba and trombone player, great horn arranger, now great singer-songwriter who's about to release his third album in a year. The guy just suddenly has become a really prolific singer-songwriter. So when COVID hit, obviously we had to stop the in-person open mics, and we had a really great and enthusiastic community on a regular basis. About 30 to 40 people would come out and we'd pack, you know, 3 or 4 hours of people coming up and taking turns and jamming. And in my opinion, it was unlike any other open mic in town. So it was pretty devastating to everybody, because that was the event that kind of kept them energized and feeling creative and connected. So we switched to a weekly Zoom format for throughout the pandemic. We weren't sure how it was going to go because of we tested and the bandwidth was so terrible for most people that we ended up asking people to pre-record their songs and submit them up to our Facebook group. And then I would host and you know, queue up the videos and play VJ over first of all, it was Facebook Live and then Zoom. Anyway, that turned out to be a boon. Like everybody, including myself, started to hone our video editing chops. But most of the people in that community have a pretty wicked sense of humor, so we got some really funny visuals and video edits, people doing simple lyric videos and things like that. Some people getting super creative and spending, you know, dozens of hours doing stop motion and all kinds of crazy video stuff. And the single thing I kept hearing was, you know, thank you for keeping this going. It's the highlight of the week. So as creative musicians who need to connect, it kept us going throughout the pandemic. And we did that weekly up until about 3 weeks ago when we decided to just take a break for the month of August. And if everything goes well, we'll be starting up in person again later this month. So that fills your time. It's one thing to, you know, jam a song live, but to have to think about what video you want to create, record the audio, find your video images and all that. So yeah, that kept me busy and helped me develop some new skills that I didn't maybe have before.
So you, in a way, you sound like you're grateful for having that learning experience to an extent.
Oh yeah, I am for sure. I mean, I'm grateful for a lot of things because when I used to, the weekly open mic, it was a real, like a listening room. So people would get up and play. We did pretty fast changeovers between artists. So there actually wasn't a lot of time to chat. So people loved the music and then they would go home and there'd be a little bit of chit chat before and after, and that was about it. But during the virtual mics, there was a constant stream of chatter. Like, you know, at the end of the night, any given night, we might have 1,500 comments thrown back and forth. A lot of, you know, wry one-liners and stuff like that. I think we actually learn more about each other and develop deeper connections on our weekly virtual events than we did in person, which is counterintuitive. But it gave us the opportunity to chat while we were listening to the music, which we never had that opportunity before. So there were many, many great things that came out of that. And I feel all of us feel much more connected to each other. If it weren't for the pandemic, that would never have happened. So.
Doing any home recording? You strike me as a fellow that has his own studio kind of vibe, and you can put music together. So, have you been doing any writing, recording, that sort of stuff?
Well, I'm gonna have to get you a copy of my last album. So, I know you have Jolly Cut. Last year, I released my last live show up until the one that's coming up was my release party for a double album called The Years. And that was 16 songs. And aside from the bed tracks, which I did live off the floor at Boxcar Studio, everything else was done in my bedroom at home. So I used to have, you know, for years I had a studio in Sonic Onion Building. And before that I had one house in Dundas. And so my studio kind of moved around. now I pared it down to just a simple, you know, digital setup in my bedroom. But I did every single overdub on my last album, you know, in my bedroom, and you'd never know. I mean, there's so much great stuff coming out of people's bedrooms these days, right? And I haven't done much new recording since I released that album. You put so much energy into, like, especially when you're the engineer, mixer, producer, songwriter, playing most of the overdubs, you get kind of burnt out, right?
Right.
So I enjoyed having the last year just to do those weekly fun, spontaneous things for my Dundas Music Club. Having said that, I have a ton of unrecorded material and a lot of new material because the Dundas Music Club event, we would assign a weekly theme. So a lot of the time, myself and others would write a brand new song for the theme. Some were throwaway joke songs, some were serious. So suffice to say, I've got to pare down a list of about 30 tunes for a new album. I just got to get cracking on that.
All the riverbeds are dry. No time to stop and wonder why. Circle of vultures is getting lower in the sky. Well, the drought had never passed. First went the flowers and then the grass. Then the leaves on the trees till there was nothing left. We're all bound here to this earth. Gravity hugs us to her girth. Meanwhile in the village, gone is the laughter and the mirth. The ones who walked upon 2 feet always took more than they could eat. Their brains got too big. They thought they knew what they were doing.
Listen to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Gunner, and my special guest right now is Dan Medakovic, singer-songwriter, and now, I guess, virtual streamer virtuoso I guess he seems to be a master of all trades, not willingly, but learning how to do things on the fly, just like the rest of us. You touched upon this last album. It was a double album, and you went to Boxcar. Can you tell us a little bit of your experience about mixing at Boxcar and the general feel of all of it? Because I get a lot of really great reports back about Boxcar.
Yeah. So Sean there, who's one of the partners in the studio, he used to rent my space out for me often when I was in the Sonic Onion building. So we had a pretty long-standing relationship. Great guy, and I knew he'd be good to work with. When I recorded Jolly Cut, I did all of the engineering, which was kind of challenging, right? Because you're standing there playing guitar, you're looking at the drummer and the bass player, trying to maintain eye contact, trying to keep a real natural flow,
right?
But at the same time, to watch the levels on every single track and make sure nothing's clipping, and it's a distraction. And although I'm really proud of Jolly Cut, when I wanted to record this last album, The Years, I wanted to be able to do the bed tracks with no distractions whatsoever. So I knew the Boxcar room. I'd been in there previously. It's an amazing, if you haven't been there, it's probably about a 3,000 square foot loft type space, right? Beautiful old pine floors, really high ceiling, just a gorgeous, massive room. So if you're doing live off the floor stuff with several players, you got room to spread out. And so I was able to just play and just, and I mean, the amount of productivity was insane. So leaving the engineering to them, me and the bass player and drummer were able to rip through sixteen songs in one and a half sessions, Friday evening and a Saturday morning, and 16 tracks were done, which is pretty unheard of. And we're not a band, so these guys were just learning this material too, right? Which also makes it remarkable.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, having that amount of time tells me two things. The musicians that you have with you are picking it up really good on the fly. And the other thing is, like, it's also, you have to consider cost, and do you still have time in that room?
Yeah.
To do that many, that's a really quick turnover.
It is. I mean, I paid for the whole Saturday and we left halfway through the day because there was nothing left to do. It was like, okay, you guys are awesome. We're done. Let's go home. So, and I should give them a shout out. Alan Hinckley on bass and Michael Scott on drums, and just super incredible musicians. So then they dumped all the audio onto a hard drive for me. I took it home, and then I went through and picked the best takes and redid my vocals and guitars, and then added all the other instruments. And I brought in some Fry Truck people like Chris Altman, pedal steel player from Fry Truck, and also plays in a ton of other bands, and also an amazing solo songwriter. He added pedal steel and some background vocals. I always use Mike Treblecock now for my background vocals. The guy's literally a genius when it comes to arranging vocals and other music. So I would just send him the tracks, and he'd send me back all his vocal tracks. Dennis Keldy, who's I believe he's in the Canadian Music Hall of Fame for when he used to play with an R&B band called The Lincolns. Totally amazing Hammond organ and keyboard player. Same thing, I sent him tracks, he sent me back his takes. So a lot of the collaboration on that was done just virtually, and then the rest I did myself. That's kind of the new way to record for me anyway. I think every album I do is going to be done like that now.
Midnight. Snowflakes coming down. Moonlight. Casting my shadow on the ground. But it don't look like me, 'cause I have wings and I'm born to be free. Glass breaks and cuts me from my dream.
Just in the current climate, I guess everyone will actually be doing it. A lot of the interviews I've done over the last year and a half have been that whole people saying the same thing that you were just saying. Like, you were talking about levels. You're trying to keep eye contact on something and you're trying to convey something to another player, that sort of thing. And it's all being done over Zoom. And some people are able to do it. Others are like, I need to have that other person in the room to, mm-hmm. you know, to show them, that sort of thing. But I have another question for you. When you did all of these things, everyone that's that does anything creative, some people, they just have their vision of what they want and what they're hearing or what they're seeing. And they're sticking to their vision. But they also need to bounce it off of someone else afterwards. Like, who is your gatekeeper for that you trust where you say, is this like, because we all have that little anxiety. Is this good? Like,
yeah.
Am I on the right track here? So who's the person?
Really good. I think it's my wife and my kids. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really go to my musician friends until the project's almost complete. Right. So, and also I guess I have enough confidence that I know as it's coming together, you know, whether it's good or not, whether I'm headed in the right direction. But, and I used to produce other bands, right? So that is a skill that I have, right? I can, before I start recording, I know what I want it to sound like at the end. And so every step along the way is intentional. And like a sculptor chipping away and, you know, eventually revealing the shape by taking away layers of the stone, I'm kind of working through the process in that way, right?
Right.
But at the end of the day, I'm working from my bedroom. My wife is hearing this music all day long. I have rough mixes playing in the car. Before I even think about who should I share this with, she's the one giving me feedback and saying, wow, okay. I play this live and you usually do it slower and you've kind of lost the groove. Or, you know, I think you can sing this. Like, you know, she's great for providing feedback. She's not a professional musician, but in my opinion, in some ways, getting the feedback from just a music listener is valuable to me. Same way, like when you do a gig in a festival and kids are dancing and stuff like that, if children can get into your music, sounds silly, but if children can get into your music because they have no filters, they don't know what's supposed to be cool and what's not supposed to be cool. I always take that as a good sign too, right? There's just too many people as you get older. A lot of people get constrained around what they're allowed to enjoy. And I don't want feedback from somebody who's told themselves that they don't like folk music or something like that. Right.
Right. That makes total sense. You really don't want any constraints. You just want everyone to have a good time and not have a vision of what, that sort of thing.
Be true to yourself, right? Because you're doing this for yourself. Your music will find an audience. If you try to pick that audience and do something just for them, it's, you know, may or may not be, introducing too many compromises along the way, right?
Yeah, I kind of model the website and the radio show that I do similar to that, where I don't try to just play one style of music all the time, because I kind of find that boring. There's a lot of people who don't give a different style of music a chance. You know, like I'm really good with every style of music except for mumble rap. I don't know why. I'm trying to be a better person, Dan. But it's mumble rap. I'm trying, Dan. I'm really trying. Hey, man. So you got that Casbah show coming up. And what's the date on that? The Casbah patio you'll be performing.
Yeah. So that's a Thursday, September 16th. People are encouraged to go online and book a table. It'll be a patio show. Doors open at 7:00 and I'll give you time to order your food and drinks and I'll start playing around 7:45. And, going to be me playing originals on guitar. I may invite a side man along. We'll see about that. But I haven't played, like I said, since last March or April when my release party was. And I'm just looking forward to getting in front of people and working through some of my favorite songs from my last two albums.
Is that the only date you're doing in the month of September, or are there a couple other shows coming up?
No, that's the only date, because a few days after that, I'm looking to fly down to Costa Rica for a month or so. And
God.
So if I do any shows, it may be down by the beach. And then when I get back to Canada, I'll start looking at booking the calendar. And I want to revive Fry Truck too. I know everybody in the band.
Right. Right. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm happy that you're going to revive Fry Truck. And that's a good little project for you to start up again when you get back. I'm just going to let you know now, I'm taking you out of my news feed on any social media, because I have great resentment of you and your photos when you go on vacation.
I'll try to frown in all of my beach photos from now on.
You're such a jerk. I remember looking at them a couple of years ago and going, oh, yeah, rub it in. Just keep taking pictures. Oh, look at that. That's a bird. That's wonderful. Oh, yeah. That's nice. Look at that palm tree. Sorry. Yeah.
Pretty not sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, jerk. Hey, man, thanks for taking the time for having a chat with us.
Hey, my pleasure. Great to chat with you. Hey, this is Danny Medakovich. Come on down to my show at the Casbah Lounge Patio, Thursday, September 16th at 7 p.m. Be sure to book a table online at www.casbahlounge.ca/rezos. That's R-E-S-O-S. See you on the 16th of September.
With the devil, sometimes you gotta make a deal. Though the souls you save won't include your own, and your wounds may never heal. The road you walk's paved with flesh and bones. Turn around, find yourself alone. A peacekeeping man with a gun in your hand. Is this where you make your last stand? Saying, boys, there's nothing here to save. So pull out all your men and let these Africans fill 800,000 graves. Oh,
times call the devil all.
My grip is weak and the day is sleep, like an eel with a feel for my intention. I try to bend with the wind, but in the end I'm a stone on a moonscape, alone and firm in the firmament. Sunshine is the cure for all, then comes fall and damn it all. Of a million trees where the roots run deep, to the roots of me, don't bring it to your knees. In spite of everything, and with a broken wing, I can still sing from where I'm grounded. I hold the hearts of those who need me most, and that's okay, cause I'm a honeybee. They're my wildflowers. Sunshine is a cure for all, and then comes fall, and damn it all, I'm in love with the world. I see a tapestry of a million trees where the roots run deep to the roots of me, and don't bring it to my knees. Fall and damn it all, I'm in love with the world. I see a tapestry of a million trees where the roots run deep to the roots of me, and it brings me to my knees. Where sunshine is the cure for all, and then comes fall and damn it all, I'm in love with the world. Of a million trees where the roots run deep to the roots of me, and don't bring it to your knees. The years are going faster now, slower than before. I wish that I could take away all your pain, but shit keeps appearing like a baby at your door. Well, you can't plan for the worst case, but the best case is you just get lucky. Sometimes you just gotta reach for the hills, or run for the hills and just say fuck it. The years are going faster now, and I'm moving slower than before. I wish that I could take away all the pain, but shit staring like a baby at your door. One day we're all busy living, the next day we're all busy dying, and no one gives a shit about the chicken or the egg, cause they're both gonna end up frying.
you're crying.
Drinking the love.
behind the wheel. I used to have a reason for every mile I'd drive. But
somewhere in the blur
of the white lines on the highway, there's a hidden message that I just can't seem to read.
I'm a machine, driving a machine. Lord, how did I get this way? I'm a machine, driving a machine. Lord, how did I get this way?
Girl effect. bartender, how's about another pint? She looks into my eyes and says, you had enough for tonight. It's only 10 p.m. I'm falling off of my stool again. That bouncer looks like a hooligan, but I just smile like the fool I am. Well, this ain't Hollywood. We're too boring, the winter's no good. But I like my neighborhood, and my neighbors like me. Around midnight, chicken trying to take flight to some kind of country band. I gotta dance cause I'm too drunk to stand. Hey, there's a girl on the bass and some dude on the drums, and them guys up front look like a bunch of bums. Well, this ain't this music. I think it's called easy listening, cause you can leave for a toke or a piss and know you're not missing anything. 2 a.m. I stumble out to the tolerates me.
Broadcasting across the Steel City, this is 101.5 The Hawk.
You know, product placement and labels and A&R people and all that, it doesn't matter. I swear to God, it doesn't matter.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Hey, you're listening to Steel City Music, and I'm your host, Gunner, here. In this hour, we did an interview with our good friend Gene Champagne. And I say our good friend, I'm speaking on behalf of the Hamilton music community and the Canadian music community and anyone who's ever loved the Killjoys, Teenage Head, the Monday Nuns, Tung Fu, Junior Achiever, the Unteens. How about that? I've known Gene since I was like 21.
I was just a kid book in the cork town, and this melty little tiny skinny little thing of a man came in and started barking orders, and I immediately loved him as if he was my brother right then and there. Back in early March of 2021, Gene got really sick from COVID, and it hit him really quick. And at that time, we didn't know it was hitting people in the age groups of 50. It was always like a little bit older for people. I don't know if I got to go on about COVID, the pandemic, and all those other fun things, but it hit him, and we almost lost him. And it was really tough time for myself and others. I was scared. I was lucky enough to just end up getting my vaccines and getting double dosed. Gene didn't have the opportunity to get it at that time. So I'm encouraging everyone who listens to this interview that if you don't think it can happen to you, it can. And Gene is a proof in that. And it made national headlines all across Canada. And it was a real eye-opener for a lot of people. And Gene will discuss that in the interview about getting ill, not remembering, recouping, and the long journey back to finally where he was able to sit behind a drum, set of drums again, and feel that he could do it once again. And just note that Gene and I chatting, we never ever, we always make jokes about absolutely everything. So we kept it fairly light, that sort of thing. So I also included on the back end some songs of each of the groups that he's been in over the years. So thanks for listening. Wash your hands, get double vaxxed, and be healthy. We want you on this planet. You're